Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for life and that you watch over us throughout all that we have to go through in life. Help us to live a holy life. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. To everyone who attended the preparedness event last weekend, thank you. I was glad to see you. People who came were interested, attentive, and engaged. What a pleasure it was to see you there. Thank you for being there. In a little while, I will talk a little about the preparedness tools that I think are just plain ordinary and good. But first, I want to talk a little bit about what we face spiritually. Because I would think eventually we all recognize how far-reaching spirituality is. In fact, I think it interacts with every area of our life. We recognize this more and more as we live our life. And we recognize how much spiritual impact something has or would have in our life. It just grows on us. Something we said, something we did, and it just comes back to it, and we recognize that there really are impactful spiritual consequences. And often they are unintended consequences, but they do happen. Probably we learn that we should have turned away from something immediately. Something which was either unnecessary or was bad or evil. And by the way, if that ever does happen, that we have some kind of a badness or an evil attacking us, remember to call on Jesus to protect us. You know, we have encounters, people have encounters which with all sorts of spiritual things. I mean, it could be even a witch or a ghost or some spirit of death. Those things really do have an effect. And so, we have to watch out for what is in front of us. And we may actually see it with our eyes. And then again, we may not. But I'm pretty sure it's not a good thing when that happens. So we don't want to get familiar or get comfortable with any of those entities. We just want to stay like pure and clean and holy. That's what the idea is. So that's what I think. And I know that it's not easy these days. In the society we live in, all sorts of things are going on. But we want to stay away from the things which are not of God, and we want to hold close the things which are of God. And I think of 1 Peter 1:16, and it says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And that just makes me think of it would be good for us to do that. Now, that's what it says. It doesn't say to be a little bit holy. It doesn't say to try to be holy. It says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And that's what we try to do. We actually do it. I mean, could you imagine the Ten Commandments saying, try not to kill, try not to steal, and try not to commit adultery? No, it says, don't. Don't do those things. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. And somehow we have to manage to know the line. The line is we don't, and we don't even think about it. We just want to keep ourselves holy because God is holy. And we want to spend time in eternity, all the time, with God, who is holy. So we want to be holy in all things and not just pick and choose some things to be and some things not to be holy. So be careful. Consider all these things and consider that if you want to learn more, you sure can. It is written in the Bible, And the Bible is a good book to read. It is God's holy word. You can read it. Yes, you can. And it helps you to get to know the character of Him who you expect to spend eternity with. So isn't that sensible? Yes, it is. Some people like to read the Old Testament. God is in there, and Jesus is in there. It points to Jesus. And then some people like to read the New Testament, and that talks about Jesus a lot. So we all have our different preferences for what we look at, what we read, and where we do it, but I have found that there are uniform themes through the Old and the New Testament, and so we just have to pay attention and interact with it as we read. Think about it. And so, both of those books do talk about future events. They talk about things of wisdom in the Bible and about how God wants us to live. Besides holy, He tells us specific things to do. And so we want to pay attention to what God tells us to do. It's as simple as that. Speaking of simple, God has the two laws, right, the great commandment right in there, which are that great commandment is really the wisdom of God, and it tells us how to live. And it is as simple as that Matthew 22:37, which is to love God and love your neighbor. Read it fully for yourself, but that's the idea. It seems like you can read more in the Bible and apply more of that principle to your life. You just have to look. Read the whole Bible. It helps with understanding it. Here and there, just keep reading. There's another biblical principle that is just so obvious, and that is that God is merciful. And He has made it easy for us to be with Him in eternity. It's easy. All we have to do is accept that free gift from Jesus of His sacrifice, His death on the cross, as a payment for our sin nature, which comes from Adam, and our sins, which we have done. We just have to accept that free gift from Jesus Christ. And don't forget the other part, which is to live like we believe it. To show gratitude for God's gift to us of forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. And still there's a whole lot of people who just can't believe it. They just can't accept it. And I think there's lots of reasons for this. It's not that I really understand, but I think people have lots of reasons for not being able to accept God's free gift. I think about why they can't accept it, and it seems to me like there's an underlying theme that people think they have to earn something, and so their focus changes from "I did and I can do it" to "Jesus did it, and Jesus can do it." So we have to get it understood, and really the reading, one is by faith, but another way we get that understanding is by reading the Bible. It does demonstrate that. Now, that concept of "I did it, and I can do it," and the "I" part, it was in ancient times, and it is in today's times. It's always been around, and the big point here is, who is the source? Are you the source, or is God the source? Where does it come from? Where does life come from? Where does forgiveness come from? And that's kind of the stumbling block, is because so many people want to think of themselves as being, in effect, the creator and in charge of everything. So People have trouble with this concept, and I think they always have had trouble with that concept. We know in ancient cultures there would be sacrifices for this or for that, and then the people would get a reward for the sacrifices, and it would be to get what they wanted, something they wanted. And the more you sacrifice, the bigger your reward will be in those ancient cultures. Not in Christianity, but in those ancient cultures, yes. And so what do we see? We see human sacrifice was done. And babies were killed, too. They were the sacrifice. There was a promise of personal, usually it was wealth, of something that was material. If you had a big sacrifice, you would get something for it. And you can look in those ancient cultures, and you can see it's just evident. But what we don't see is even today. Today we can look at it, and it's still, the underlying theme is with us today. I mean, just look at abortion in our world today. Now, life begins at conception, and too many people today are willing to sacrifice a baby's life. For what? For a standard of living so that they don't have to pay for that baby growing up, or maybe so that they don't have to be inconvenienced for what they want to do? Well, yeah, that seems to be a lot of the theme going on today. Doesn't sound good to me, and so I can only help, I can't help but wonder what is coming. Are we going to repent, or are we going to be judged? Or you could call it consequences. Are we going to have the consequences of the decisions that we as a society have made? Or we as individuals have made? So, what is coming? I just wonder about it, and I certainly don't know. I know this brings to mind 2 Chronicles 7:14, and that says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from them, hear from heaven, and forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." And yes, our land needs to be healed. And yes, we need a lot more than that healed in our society, in our bodies. Yes. So let's keep looking at this direction and see how we need to pray, what needs to be prayed for so that we turn from our wicked ways. And it's possible that you're not one who needs to do that, but as a society, we certainly do. And the prayers are good to have for all over the place, for all sorts of situations. So remember to pray. There's so much that needs prayer. And pray for those who are seeking God's will. Pray for their holiness. Pray that they're able to stay the course of holiness. And also in prayer, we can pray for those who are in the process of turning from their wicked ways. Some people need a lot of help with that, and we can pray and support them. I think that's important to do. I know Ephesians 6:18 talks about praying with all prayer and supplication. And supplication is earnest and humble asking. So that's how we're to pray, with our truly asking and our humble asking as we pray. Yes, pray in the Spirit. Of course, you can pray out loud too, but it's your Spirit who's speaking to God. Hold fast to God's good Spirit, and please do not entertain those ungodly spirits, because we don't want to be tricked. Hey, Webster's 1828 dictionary defines the act of a trick as being deceiving or being cheating or defrauding. So you see, we don't want to be doing any of the tricking because we don't want to be deceitful or cheating or defrauding anyone. Nope. So that's what a trick is defined as. I think you probably would not even want to participate in tricking. So look at the principle and see what's going on in our society, because often enough we expect to get something for a promise not to trick somebody. We can get a sweet treat. And you just be careful with that concept. So what are we teaching by encouraging that behavior? What are we teaching the children? Can you imagine a whole society, if they really lived by that principle, what would happen if it really became widespread? Wow. I mean, give me something or I'll trick you. Give me food stamps or I'll trick you. Oh, I shouldn't have used that example. But the point is, give me a treat or give me food. That's what I meant to say. But it can go for anything. Give me a job or I'll trick you. Give me, pay my student loans for me or I'll trick you. Now the point is that's the orientation to what's going on with that so-called trick or treat. So be aware of it. And yes, is that the kind of society we are creating? It just might be. So we'll see what happens with the symptoms around us. Look around. Are things getting like that? Or are they getting more godly? Well, we live in a world and things are changing. We don't exactly know how, but we sure can see the changes. California, the state, has lots of things changing. And there's... I think they call it a homeless problem because there are so many homeless people in California, all around us. Each city has a lot of people who are hopeless, and they're homeless because they're trying to get by and it's tough for them. It's pretty hard for the situation for everyone involved. So what do? We provide the homeless with food, and that's good. And that means I think one of the ideas behind that is that if they have food, they're not going to try to break into your cars and your houses to get things so they can buy what they want. I don't know the real answer to that, but it's a curious thing. I know earlier in the year I talked to a homeless man who was begging for money to buy beer, and that's what he said the money was for. And I asked him about his state of homelessness, and I asked him about the beer that he was wanting, and I found out a couple of things in that conversation. And one thing was that nobody talks to homeless people. He said it had been almost 2 months since he had a conversation with a regular person, and I was a regular person. Other than that, his conversations were with homeless people, and I can only imagine how that would affect a person to only have conversations with people who were having troubles in life like you. Well, it makes a problem for if we are trying to bring people back into society, and how we do that. How do we integrate people back into society after they have been out of society? We want people to be productive. We want people to have jobs. But it's pretty hard. Can you imagine not speaking to a regular person for almost 2 months? It's gotten to be a problem, And somehow there has to be a solution. If there isn't, it'll only get worse. And then what? Not good. So I think the biggest thing we can do is to pray. Oh, of course, we say amen with a thought for action, but prayer is the big, what I see the big part is, it's the initial part. So I think we can do something about it still. The problem is growing. It's getting a bigger and bigger problem because people don't get reintegrated into society, and I think that's a problem. I know often enough we can look into the Bible for answers, all sorts of answers to all sorts of problems. It's surprising what's in that book. And you can get more than one answer to the same problem, in fact. There are different approaches that you can read about. And, for instance, with charity. So here we are talking about the homeless, and we can talk about charity, because charity is right there in the Bible. We're supposed to have charity, but we're also supposed to have wisdom in our giving. Wisdom with our money, and one of those things is don't go into debt. And just about every level of our society is in debt. Americans, we have not paid enough attention to that, and our debt load is serious. So, yeah, we're just human and we want things, but we better look pretty close at that, because it's just waiting to be a huge problem at some point. And we justify our own desires and our own what we call needs. And it's not what we're supposed to do according to what God says to do. He talks about not getting in debt. So we have a lot of things to work through. There's a lot of things, but we can still appreciate the people around us. People have wonderful qualities, and people love each other too, and people have love in their heart. So we do want to encourage that, and we also want to use wisdom. So show your love with wisdom, and don't let things be wasted. Not with people and not with government. And just make the best of everything there is that is available to us. And, well, just keep thinking. Think about charity and wise giving and loving giving. And then eventually you get to a point where you get better at it. Use wisdom in your money. Use wisdom in your spending. It's a, like I said, it's a problem throughout our whole society today. And there's only a few who are really secure financially. Not many, but a few. And all economies have a cycle. I mean, we can see the cycles. They get, I guess, boom and bust is the best way to describe it. And there's many in the United States who see that the next part of this cycle is to have a bust cycle. And they see it in the near future, too. I know I've had some talked about financial people who say that we are just at the beginning stages of a bust, and that if it doesn't happen, if it doesn't begin this year, it will certainly begin next year. That's what most of those financial people think. Next year is the year. So I think we should do something while we can. While times are good, especially relatively good, we should do what we can. And the big thing I see is pay off our debts. Because if our economy does decline, or some people say collapse, it could do that too. But if it does decline, I don't think anything would be normal for a few years. It would take a long time to get back to normal. And it's just something that we better think about and pay attention to. There's lots to examine as we try to search out the answers. And we can look to the Bible, look to the theologians who might have the answer. And we can look ourselves. This Bible is available to us. And we can see what we understand the answers to be. And often enough, there are different people with different answers. But we have to do something with what we hear. We have to know that there is something to do. Act on it. James, in chapter 1, I think at the latter part, he talks about not just hearing the word, but being a doer of the word also. So somehow we have to apply what we know. Not easy, but that's what we're supposed to do. So the Bible does talk about lots of important things, and we should pay attention to it. I know one thing I think about the Bible telling us is to look at Jesus Christ, of course. We investigate, well, if we don't yet believe, we investigate who Christ is, and if we do believe, and then we change our life as we are baptized, and we change our behaviors. And the other part is we invite Christ to live in us. We're still us, and we have our characteristics, but with Christ living inside of us, it changes our intentions and our motives. And that includes serving God through Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of different things we can look at, and we try to figure it out. And we who are Christ followers, it's not unusual for us to have some minor disagreements or questions. Sometimes they're even major. But we ought to try to agree with our brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's one of the main Christian principles, is to get along. And I know here, let me look here, this is something I found, that were five pillars of Christianity. And there are different places that have the five pillars, but I'm going to read you these ones. One, the inerrancy of the Scripture, that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. Two, the deity of Jesus Christ in his miraculous conception, birth, ministry, atoning death and resurrection, and ascension into heaven. Three, the triune nature of God, the historic Christian doctrine of one God, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each co-equal, each co-eternal, separate and distinct persons, but united as one. Four, salvation is received only through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And five, concerning eschatology, which is the study of the end times, the literal physical return of Jesus Christ from heaven as Lord of Lords and King of Kings to establish his kingdom on earth. So it's an interesting thing when you try to look at the pillars of Christianity, because there's not just one set of beliefs. It's kind of surprising. Why can't we believe and agree to believe on the fundamental principles of Christianity? It's surprising how there's little changes here and there. But this information is available. It's out there. And I know you have to be careful with where you look. I asked Google that question, And Google's answer is very different from what I just said. Very different. So I understand that there is both good and bad information everywhere we look. And I think the best thing we can do is to use our own understanding, our logic, and to pray and have discernment, of course. That's the most basic thing. Pray and use discernment as we seek the answer to every question that we have. And don't give up, because when we find the correct biblically oriented answers, it's good, but sometimes we have to look. So remember to pray to the God of the Bible in all matters. And I'm going to read those five pillars of Christianity again, because I think they're important. One, the inerrancy of the Scripture, that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. Two, the deity of Jesus Christ, His miraculous conception, His birth, His ministry, His atoning death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. Three, the triune nature of God, the historic Christian doctrine of one God, that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each one is co-equal, each co-eternal, and they are separate and distinct persons, but they are united as one. Four, salvation is received only through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And five, concerning eschatology, the literal physical return of Jesus Christ from heaven as Lord of Lords and King of Kings to establish His kingdom on earth. So, as we try to search out the matters, we have to think and we have to use our understanding. And remember that we are brothers in Christ throughout all this and through the discussions that we might have. We want to get along, and sometimes we will have disagreements between the brothers, but keep the discussion respectful, because we just think we're going to have to see each other eternally, because we'll be dwelling together. It's just going to be interesting. Yep. So, dividing is what our enemy does. He divides us. And the enemy of our soul does not want us to unite under the banner of Jesus Christ. No, our enemy wants us to be separated so that we cannot work together, or at least not work well together, and so that we do not realize that we are united under Jesus Christ. That's the division that is going on right now. There's an evil plan for it. It's the desire to divide and conquer. Now, that's been a common tactic throughout all of history. Our earthly enemies have used this tactic to divide and conquer, and our spiritual enemy has used it. Our enemy, you could call him Lucifer, because that's what he was when he fell, but before the fall, and then after the fall, his name changed to Satan. And he still is the leader of many fallen angels and demons on earth. So, but the name changed. With his position changed, the name changed. So, there's a question, a kind of a question that some people would entertain or debate, and that is, in earth or on earth? Because there's a question of what the earth is. Is the earth the physical earth, or does the earth include the atmosphere? It's just one of those questions. What do we say about that? I don't know. Yeah, but it's something we kind of can talk about. Not something to divide over, but just a question. What is earth? Is it the solid part? Is it the spiritual part? Is it the atmosphere? Can the fallen angels go through a solid earth? It's just, these are things that we can discuss and investigate. I don't think anybody has a sure answer, but there's questions and there's indicators to point one direction or the other for all these things. So we don't want to divide over these questions, but some people think it's fun to ask the questions and seek the answers. I guess I'm one of those people. But this is not a matter of correct Christian theology. It is not. It's just a matter of discussing it and trying to have thought about it. So I think I better talk about tools, because I was going to talk about tools in the beginning of this before it slips past my mind. So I think of tools, and I think of them as being kind of like medical supplies. You get what you know how to use. It's the same basic approach. Get what you use. Get what you know how to use. So I think that it's good to have the same, many of the basic tools, because the basic tools are all going to be helpful for the things we all face. And for anything beyond the basics, whether it's with medical or with tools or construction, we should know a little bit about how to use them, or we just don't need them, whatever it is, because if we don't know how to use something, we're not. So don't buy it. Except the basics. I think it's good to have the basic tools. So examine what you're anticipating for the future, and to see what kind of a situation you're expecting, or could see coming about, what kind of a time frame you're looking at. Are you going to be looking at days or weeks or months or years? Sure, why not? But the point is you have to have a perspective on what it is you're trying to deal with. And that will give you the idea of what kind of tools or anything, what kind of supplies you should have. It's always going to be different from everybody's point of view. Are you going to examine if there was some huge natural disaster? Would the electricity be off for weeks or months? Or would there be a grid down situation? Or just like a winter storm comes along? You have to get a grasp of what the issue is that you're trying to solve. And then you will be better off to tell what kind of things you would like to have on hand to overcome it. And remember, water is always a big issue. Water, just plain water. All we have to do nowadays is turn on the faucet. But if you look at the storms that have happened, if you look at, natural disasters, it's not unusual for the electricity to stop. And if the electricity stops, at some point the water will stop. If there's an earthquake, you can expect breakages in the main lines, and you just don't know how long it will take to get the main lines back working again. It's just too much question. You just don't know. But you have to have an idea for what you expect. And the only person that can figure that out is you. You have to have some idea, and then you have to act on it. So water is probably the most fundamental need we have, because we need water. Sure, liquids is one thing, but water is even better. So and remember, if we do have a situation where the water mains break, almost every water district has plans to open up wells within a week. But, you know, that's a week. They say within a week they're going to have their water wells open. So it's a week without water. This is in the big cities or the little cities. This is, well, I've heard it. Do I know it's going to be that way for you if we have a problem? No, I don't know. But I can only guess that there's some uniformity between water districts, because I've heard this a couple of times. So, water without water for 2 weeks or a week, it's going to be difficult. No water coming out of your faucet, it's tough. So have some water stored so that you don't have to go to those water wells. And if you do have to go to those water wells, what you're going to do is you're going to have to take it back home. That's not easy. Water is not light. It's heavy. So if you have a gallon of water that you're supposed to drink every day, that's 8 pounds. You're going to be carrying back 8 pounds of water for every day that you intend to be needing it. So let's say you get by with half a gallon of water a day instead of 1 gallon. Well, it's still 4 gallons you're carrying plus the container. So give it some thought about how you're going to get that water from the emergency water location to your home. Now, there's not real answers to this. It's just that you have to consider it and see what you would anticipate. I think it's a good idea to have some sturdy water containers so that you can take the water home. You might be backpacking at home, and you might have a child's wagon that you could use to bring that water home. And if it ever does get to that point, I would think it's a good idea to go as a group to get water, because you don't want to be accosted on the way. You don't want someone to steal either your water container or your water. So you just consider these things as you go along. Because I know there's plans for water, but it just doesn't happen right away. If it doesn't come out of our faucet, where do we get the water? Not easy, I'll tell you. That's a big question. And people have been faced with that with various natural disasters, from the earthquakes in Southern California to the hurricanes on the East Coast and the Gulf area states. It's just one of those things. It's so easy to get water now. So, yeah, get some. It doesn't take that much to do. And it's so necessary. We each need water. And I know I've talked about the earthquake, the Cascadia subduction zone fault. And who knows what that would do. I think I'll talk about that next week, though. That's a big one. That's huge. That's so huge. And it would affect many areas of Northern California. It would just be huge. So back to the tools. I think of basic hand tools. That is what you want. Because if we're looking at a situation where we need to have some tools like that, we're going to be probably without electricity. And so you get hand tools, some nails, some screws, and then the basic tools like a hammer, that is a carpenter hammer, a carpenter saw, a hacksaw, pliers, wire cutters, standard screwdrivers, and Phillips screwdrivers. Now, if you're going to be using the screwdriver to drive screws in, you're going to wear that screwdriver out, so get a couple of them. It's cheap insurance to get. Have a couple of screwdrivers. oh, and all the other things are just kind of, they're good to have. But it depends on what you know how to use. That should be a minimum, though, what I just said. And then you try to figure out what other things that are more unusual that you would need. I know another really, really nice thing is a vise. So get a vise, get a couple of tarps, and some rope. Get medium rope and light rope, and some wire. See, all these things, they come in so handy if we ever have to do things that are kind of surprises with us. And again, if there is an emergency, you're probably going to want to start gardening if it's the right time of year. So have those gardening tools. That will give you some fresh vegetables and seeds. So get those things. Seeds are important. I like the GMO, the non-GMO seeds, because they are the ones that will reproduce seeds. So by all means, do that. Another thing you might want is a post-hole digger. And you would use a post-hole digger if you were ever going to dig a latrine. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing you think about. Latrines are important, as you can imagine. And if you ever do have to dig one, you dig it so that there's a small hole on the top and a big hole on the bottom. So it's kind of like an upside-down funnel. And that way you get to fill it up with a lot of stuff. Anyway, latrines are not fun to talk about, but they sure are important. And sometime you might not have the water that you need to flush. So you consider these things about what your needs might be. That's why the post-hole digger is important, but you can probably borrow one. You don't need to buy one. But there should be one somewhere. Okay. So, and if you do have to dig a latrine, put a little privacy wall around it so that anybody using the latrine can do it privately. And then you might have a board or something to cover it, because you don't want anybody to trip on that hole. So, I know, that's the quick solution, and it's not like an outhouse. Outhouses are good too, but they take a little more time to build, and I'm just thinking of what you can do quickly and easily. And remember that privacy part. So, I guess I should say this too. If you are digging a latrine, you could have a piece of plywood with a hole in it, and that makes a pretty simple latrine, but okay, enough said about that. There are unknown situations that happen, and of course they're unknown. And what we each will do is try to figure out what those unknowns are and how to deal with them. Everybody is different, and everybody has different concerns. It might be an emergency kit for your car. What would that be? Well, it would be water, that's for sure, and food. If your body gets dehydrated, it just doesn't work as efficiently. So you'll want to have water, definitely, some snacks or food, and you might want warm clothes and a warm coat, and of course, walking shoes. That's important. Some people don't know how to repair their car. But even if you don't, there's a few things that you can have that will fix the common car problems that there are. Common car problems are usually tires, and sometimes they're belts and hoses. But the tires is the big one. So you want to have a can of air or an air compressor to pump up a tire. And sometimes they just go flat. See, your spare tire does not hardly get a refill of air. So, and we forget about it. We don't check it. So have that air compressor or can of air ready for the spare tire too. Or check it every 6 to 12 months. I mean, that's a better alternative, but pretty much we don't. And then you have the other things besides hoses and belts. You have the radiator fluid. You might have radiator stop leak. You make sure your tire jack is where it's supposed to be. And I already said the air pump. That's really a good item to have. And a tire iron to make sure you can take the tire off. And then have an air gauge. Spare tire, check that out too. Yes. A flashlight in case any of this happens at night. Emergency road flares. See, all these things we want to have, but you're the one who has to figure out what you want to actually take. Do you want to have a box in your car that has spare parts? Some people do. Some people don't at all. Some people will want to have a spare starter motor. And some people won't care at all. So how far away from home are you going to be? Do you have the tools to change it? But even if you don't, the mechanic you go to might not have the belt that you need in stock. So, and maybe there's not a auto parts store nearby. So to have a belt or a hose in your own vehicle is always a good idea for either you to use, somebody who stops to help you to use, or a car shop that doesn't have the part and can't get it till the following day. It's a matter of you have to make decisions, because all these things affect you. You're the one to figure it out. Always, any list can be much longer, but you just don't know what you're going to anticipate. Going to the snow is another question. Or going into a more remote area is another one. I mean, you might want to carry a buck saw with you, or you might want to carry tire chains with you. It's just, you've got to figure out what you're going to face and then figure out what to take with you. It's always different. Everybody has a different list. Some people don't like to carry any extra parts, and some people think it's a good idea. You just get to evaluate your own concerns and figure out the solutions if you want to. I know one of the things on car things I like is a spare windshield wiper blade. Now, sure, it only happens every 10. It's not the blade, it's the whole assembly. The windshield wiper arm assembly. Because every once in a while something happens and you lose it. I mean, maybe it's every 10 years. Okay. You get to figure out if it's important to you or not. Spare light bulbs for the stop lights, turn signals, any of that. There again, there are questions, and you get to evaluate your own concerns and take the right actions. But you have to remember those other important basics for you. Water, food, and warmth. Walking shoes. I don't think it's bad to carry a backpack either, because what if you are... It can be a little backpack. I'm not talking about big. I just mean something to put your papers in, or your lunch in, or who knows what. But I think backpacks are pretty handy, and they can be small. It doesn't have to be anything to speak of. But like I said, you figure it out. You make what makes sense to you. Nobody really knows what to prepare for. It's just that you get a sense of what kind of things are important to you. Nobody knows the answers, really. There's all sorts of situations. I mean, you can't guess all of them. You wouldn't want to. Would there be a banking problem is another one. What's going to be available at the auto parts store or the carports? store, you can only go so far with all the things you take. Have your car in good shape. Oh, and always try to consider your car is on empty when it's at half a tank, because you never know when you're going to have to start driving someplace. I know once I recently, just months ago, I had to turn around because the road was blocked, and I anticipated getting gas in the next town. So I had to turn around and barely made it back to the other town for gas. It was below empty. So my point is to consider half tank of gas. You should refill it because you never know if there's an emergency and what's going to happen. So consider all those things when you go out for a drive. And that, of course, means when you're preparing for your emergency situation also. Nobody knows the answers. But you can anticipate some things. And like I said, water, food is important, warmth, and medical is a big one. Who knows about those things, though? They can be serious things or not. And I always carry the minimum first aid kit with me, which is gauze and cloth tape and triple antibiotic ointment. Oh, and the little Swiss Army knife. Those are all good. Those will get you through a problem. And of course, you can always have more, a little water, a little food, a compass, a whistle. All these things, a flashlight. Flashlight's important. So all these things you just get to figure out. It's interesting what we all come up with. So do something to prepare. And always remember, speaking of preparations, is that you can always get some food for the just in case. Now, you can even do it without very much expense. Just get rice and beans and water, salt and oil. No, I said water. Oh, rice, beans, salt, sugar, and oil. And those are the basics. Get anything else you want, too. Get some jugs of water. You can do that for $25 or a little more even. But please get something for that just in case. And I want to thank you for listening today. And thank you for coming to the personal preparedness event a week ago. And so you can listen to past broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org. And that's all lowercase, no capitals. Or write to me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Until next week, may you walk with God and may God walk with you. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, lift me up.